Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith, Jim Galante, and Andrew P. Shea. Have we ever had this combination before for a show?
No.
Maybe. I guess not.
I don't think so.
It's not the A squad. It's not the B squad. It's down the alphabet somewhere. We're here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue, a Labatt Blue light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're talking about Penn State, Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. 27-24. Kentucky beats Penn State. Holds off Penn State. We saw a lot of familiar themes in that game, which we will touch on. We'll do a little stock up, stock down from the game, and we will look around the rest of the college football bowl scene. Some New Year's Day action, look ahead to Alabama-Clemson early next week. And, yeah, should be a good show. And I mentioned the familiar themes, drop passes, special teams, and some game management stuff that a lot of people are screaming about. But in an effort to avoid getting slapped with a negative tone, let's start with some of the more positive stuff first. Number one, Trace McSorley closing his career. And really, could there have been a more storybook, other than Penn State winning the game, could there have been a better story than Trace McSorley playing the second half against Kentucky with apparently a broken foot and nearly leading them the whole way back from 27-7?
The only thing that kept them from erecting a statue in State College for Trace, because that cemented in my mind as him being one of, if not the greatest player to play any position at Penn State for in terms of his career, cementing it. The only thing that kept him from doing that was a knockdown pass on a shallow cross to KJ Hamler, because it was open. And if Kentucky doesn't knock down that pass, it was right on target for Hamler, and he scores easily for a touchdown to put Penn State in the lead, kick an extra point. Other than that, if that's the only thing that you're short, then how can you not argue with, you know, how can you argue with what Saquon Barkley said on Twitter, which was that Trace is the greatest to ever put on the Penn State uniform? And from one who's possibly one of those being considered as that mantra, I think that's a pretty strong statement. And Saquon's not just being selfless either, I don't think. I think he legitimately thinks this guy, you know, because Saquon blew up and had to go to the NFL because he had to.
Yeah.
I think in his heart of hearts, Saquon wanted to be, like, do what Trace did, which was complete his career as a senior and all that kind of stuff. And that's why he respects Trace so much and thinks he's the greatest that ever wore the Penn State uniform.
I'm sorry, I got to go get it right off the bat.
Sure, let's get us there.
You've got to admire what the kid did, playing with an injury, which it was obvious he had. But through the game, was it just me, or he didn't throw the ball particularly well, though, at least through the first three quarters, or
true.
Am I wrong?
I wouldn't say three quarters. You know, and part of this, I wanted to save the drop passes for later. But the thing that has been consistent from week one to now, and they're drive killers. They do not get, they rob you of an opportunity. I'm not making excuses for Trace, but they rob you of opportunities to sustain anything. Those drop passes on third downs, those balls that are going deep, that are catchable, that might not necessarily be drops per se. They might not go down as drops. They're things that limit your ability. Trace does go through, and he's always been this way, where he's got cold stretches. And I think that's one of the things that works against, in some people's minds, his legacy, because he doesn't feel as good as what he ends up being in games, because he goes through these 10, 15, 20-minute stretches where the ball just doesn't come out well for some reason. And he went through that right off the bat in this one.
And you're right about the drops. See, I look at the drop passes and the missed open receivers the same way. They're drive killers. If you want to start from the very first possession, when I guess it was Miles Sanders dropped the ball on second down, was it? That would have set them up for a much easier third down play. Or Trace missing an open receiver. To me, it's the same effect. They're drive killers. That Miles Sanders drop on the first possession turns into they don't get the first down, which turns into the ill-fated fate punt decision. So you're right. Those little things, the drops – but the missed open receivers does the same thing. I'm sorry. Like I said, I greatly admire what the kid did.
I'm not going to bust his apple bag for the accuracy. Everybody misses open receivers.
I think the drop passes, in my opinion, only lead to us accentuating the missed throws. Like a quarterback's going to miss throws in a game. But because the combination of the drop passes and then when you see Trace miss Pat Freiermuth on the underthrow on the interception, miss throw high to DeAndre Tompkins, you know, on a corner route when he's open, stuff like that. When you know when he threw it behind KJ Hamler and the guys on the broadcast tried to say it was Hamler running a bad route, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's just a bad throw. It's behind him. He didn't lead him properly. Things like that get accentuated with the inordinate amount of drops that have gone on game 1 through 13 for Penn State this season. The combo of the two, I think, actually makes the drop seem higher because you don't have a high expectation of Trace to do that consistently. But when he does, the combination of the drops and the missed throws, they become more of a highlight. Just in my opinion, I'm not making an excuse for him. I do think he was off a bit yesterday, and Dustin, you're right, the cold stretches have been more consistent this year, but when he heats up, it's pretty darn good.
And I think so. He is comfortable in the pocket. I think he understands how to play from the pocket, but he is 100% at his best when he is out on the move, and that includes the offense running a lot better when he's being a threat with his legs. And sometimes I just don't understand, and it could be something behind the scenes. It could be them protecting Trace, but I don't understand why that's not a more consistent part of the game plan to start this game against Kentucky. Why is it taking until the second, third, fourth quarters to use that element and unlock that offense? And then the other part of it is that when he's moving around, when he's stepping up and kind of and moving to his right, when he's you know, he does that kind of like half sprint towards the line of scrimmage and throws on the run that way, that's when he's at his best. And that's when he got hot, he was making those throws late.
And in fact, to your point, Dusty, on the interception, which was one of those kind of plays, I was already getting excited when I saw him throwing deep. Someone must be open.
Yeah.
And
he just didn't. He didn't see that guy. I know he maybe could have made a better throw, but I don't think he saw.
It's a great play.
Or maybe those two receivers shouldn't have been in the same area.
He was defending the other receiver, and that receiver brought the defender there.
Yeah.
So it's understandable that he didn't see him. But to your point, when he's making that kind of play is when he's most dangerous. And as soon as you see that happening, like I said, I'm excited that something good is going to happen when that kind of play is created.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best RV value in Happy Valley. It's technically the off season, but it's never not a good time to check out GoPSURV.com. All kinds of good stuff going through the spring and obviously looking ahead to the 2019 season. Go check out what they have to offer.
And don't forget the blue-white game.
The blue-white game for sure. One of the better opportunities, I think, to go tailgate for a game. GoPSURV.com. I think the other thing we should touch on right away, first of all, special teams comes down to a couple different things, and game management is part of this too. James Franklin had it in his head. It must have been scripted from the get-go to fake the punt early in that game. What are your thoughts on that part of it, for starters?
Stupid. You get a first down? You convert it. It's not like you get a touchdown or you move into the red zone or into scoring position. Or you have the ball at your own 30. You're less than a minute into the game. You get a first down. Oh, great. All right. So he picks up the first down. So it's first and 10. The risk reward there just doesn't equate to me. And if you're going to want to be aggressive, quote unquote, or risky, how about doing some hard evaluation of what your script looks like? Let's talk about aggressive and being in your script. Because for 10, 12, 15 plays, I'm like, what on earth is Penn State's direction as an offense? Is it a focus on the quarterback? Is it a focus on the running back? You couldn't figure out what in the world their script looked like. So you want to talk about being aggressive. How about taking some chains off and being a little more aggressive with your play script so you don't have to have third and two and call a dumb fake punt 40 seconds into the game. I just thought the risk reward and you get a first down was ridiculous.
Well, as you both know, I'm the one who usually pushes for going for it on fourth down. But I got to agree with you, Andy, on that one, especially at the start of the game where we found out Kentucky is very limited offensively. They need help on offense. What better help than giving them the ball on your own 29-yard line and let them gain the momentum? As I said, that if there was ever time to punt, that was it.
Well, here's the other thing. It's not really in Kentucky's team personality to be caught off guard by stuff like that. They're a pretty sound, physical, meat and potatoes
experienced team.
They're experienced. They were an
experienced football team, yeah.
And all it took was, I guess the snap came out a little low because Thomas bobbled it a little bit. And that's all it took. It briefly looked like Penn State had numbers to run behind, but Kentucky swallowed that up in an instant. And I think the half second it took to corral that ball and to start to move the ball forward was all it took. But I think for them it was just a really good read. Like, they were amped up, and I think Franklin probably wanted to play into that a little bit. Like, this game, it felt to me like the Big Ten title game did a little bit, where Wisconsin came out, they were wired, they were celebrating everything, and you're like, just hold on now. This could come back a little bit. And you know, the difference obviously in this game was that they didn't have Kosicki and Barkley and the ammo to come the whole way back. But I think Franklin, I think it was probably in the works for weeks, but just, I think it's just ill-advised. I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish there. And I think sometimes, you know, to touch on game management a little bit, I don't think he's really got a philosophy. I think he makes choices without a real clear intention or idea of why he's doing stuff.
I don't think he's not a feel person, right?
Right.
We know he's very attention to detail, planning. That's
not
strength.
An instinctive part
correct.
Of him.
So yeah. Saturday between the lines during the game, that's all a feel thing. That's like, you know, that's not planned. This looked like it was planned and orchestrated, and this is what we're going to do. And, you know, Saturday's all about having the feel to make those calls. You need to have a plan, but you also have to feel the moment and understand when to make the call and when to not. And this was planned, so they did it. And
how would we react, though, if it was a good snap, not dropped, and he made the first down?
You got a first down. Well done.
We're not done talking Citrus Bowl. We're going to take a quick break. Keep talking about game management and special teams because you haven't heard it enough. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.